Thank you so much for joining us in this session today. One of the biggest things that we've been thinking about these days is online radio. How does it work? Is it going to work? And is it the future of radio as we know it right now? But to tell us a little bit more about this is Emma Jane Robson from Awake Online. Can we give her a warm round of applause, please?
Thank you. Hello everyone. Thanks for sitting in today. I know it's been a long week, but it's all about radio. So why am I here is to speak to you about, it's not on air, it's online. It's exactly that. But more than anything, we all here for one common reason, and that's to discuss radio. Just to break in, my journey into radio, I really got into bed with radio about 5 years ago. My first introduction was really co-hosting online, and I really didn't enjoy the attention of being a co-host. As you know, social media has a very strong marriage with online, and it just felt too close for comfort for me, just being in the spotlight. And then after that, I moved into traditional radio, and then found myself in online radio. Through the 11 months of really pioneering this industry with so many other people out there, Hendrik in here today, we all in this together in the online space. And I think for me personally today is really to discuss not really the difference between online radio and traditional, but how it's being received, how we are selling online radio, and where the industry's going from here. So the first point that I'd like to obviously discuss, one of the biggest points that separates traditional radio from online radio, is measurability. Traceability and measurability really equals accountability. So it's a completely different sell to the advertiser, because we are able to obviously give advertisers full reports on the stats around listenership and data. The sweeping of online radio, as you know, in traditional radio, we had radio diaries, and those radio diaries determined your living standard measurements, and it was really a hit and a miss when it came to measurability. And online radio has afforded the advertiser, afforded the consumer really an honest space to advertise, and what you're getting for your budget, and how we spreading that budget. So it's a really big point, and a point that I'm actually very passionate about, because the industry has needed strong accountability. You know, a lot of budget has been wasted and spread into areas that you know, the advertiser wouldn't have been happy with, but you know, online radio changes that. The other big point, cost-effective. It's a very cost-effective platform. Reason being is that, you know, there's more spread. We get to engage with social channels, podcasting, which is massive, and then obviously the radio. I just wanted to chat about the accessibility for the consumer and the advertiser, how easy it is to access online radio. As you aren't aware, data is a problem in this country. Data rates are a problem in this country, but slowly but surely, hopefully service providers will make data a lot more accessible and cheaper for the consumer, and Wi-Fi free spots will hopefully be available. My passion and love for radio runs very, very deep. It's probably the most beautiful medium that I believe exists in the world, because it has the ability to carry a message. And with online radio, we have the ability to cross borders. We're able to penetrate targeted audiences, which really leaves the advertiser in a better position, because there's no waste factor on that budget. The growth in 2017 for online radio has been absolutely rapid. We are battling with the traditional backs against the wall, with allowing this new cousin on the block, online radio, to come in and really not compete with traditional radio, but add to traditional radio, and to be a part of the digital migration that's happening. Sorry, I just wanted to. The other thing that I'd really like to chat about is how personal radio really is, the touch factor, that we are able to feel connected and not disconnected at the same time. You know, back in the day, or still today, when you used to call in and have a shout out or be able to speak to the presenter, you know, it was the only time that you felt that you were really engaging with the people on the other side. But with online radio, there's a real personal element of being able to interact and engage and do multiple multitask while you're listening to the radio, while you're streaming. You're able to do so many other things, which really is a massive benefit to people. The other massive thing that I would like to discuss is really around online and its reception for the individual. Online radio doesn't push to you. It's more of a pull factor. You decide when you want to stream in, and obviously with podcasts and stuff, you know, there's a pause, play, skip, scroll factor, but it's really leaving it up to the consumer when they want to listen and what they want to listen to, and why. So, I would like to obviously ask if there is anyone who does have questions about online radio, what online radio means to you. And is there anyone that would like to have any questions, ask any questions about the industry? Cool.
Hi, Emma.
Hi.
Great insight. My name is Ahmed. I work at Eyewitness News. But in terms of online radio involves streaming, obviously there's certain remote areas that still use FM frequencies. Now, is online radio perhaps only available to a certain class audience and those who have the means to it? So someone out in a rural village and outside, you know, towards the farm areas, they may not have access to the internet and they only may be using FM radio.
Thanks for your question. And it's something that comes up for us a lot. 86% of users are smartphone users, and as you know, if you don't have a smartphone or if you don't have access to Wi-Fi, then streaming does become a problem, and also compressed data, making it affordable to stream. With regards to that, yes, it's less accessible, but it's really a matter of time. There are a lot of Wi-Fi free spots that are coming up, and yes, the rural areas are a massive problem, but we're actually looking at partnering with the big service providers to actually issue in smartphones. We're actually working with a company at the moment called AdLocker, and they distribute smartphones into all these rural areas that give people access to that. But it's just like everything, it's a matter of time, really, and it's something that we're fighting every day. So, yeah.
Emma Jane, I think one of the big problems that we see is that there's no one system for reporting users and listeners on online, and everybody does their own thing. How does that influence what you're trying to do and how you're trying to sell our stations?
Were you in my meetings this week, Hendrik? So, yes, with online radio not being regulated like traditional radio is, we do not have a research council like the BRC that's in existence to sweep listenership. And what you mentioned, Hendrik, it is problematic. I look at Awake Online, we've got 12 incredible stations, and all 12 stations are plugged into different hosting service providers and all stream services. And it's problematic because for the clients, we need to pull that reporting instantly, and sometimes we can't. I have to go through to the stations that have to go through to Iona and Farm or Net Dynamics. And the biggest thing that I would really like to do is create a research council for digital that we are able to sweep listenership and have our own RAMs at the end of the year that we would be able to measure growth and kind of give that not only to the advertiser for the industry is needing listenership to be sweeped, and it's not all about the hosting, it's about the numbers. And in this game, in the game that I'm in it for radio first and then everything after that, but it does make it a lot harder to sell without the numbers. It's become our biggest selling point is to hand over measurability. We're working on a cost per listen rate card model at the moment. It's really like your cost per click, but cost per listen, and you know, to really work on a strong model that isn't picking up multiple IP addresses, but individual IP addresses that if that IP address streamed on and streamed out and decided to come back in, that it would pick it up as one unique user and not multiple users. So that's where we're at. And we, unfortunately, for online radio at the moment, is that they're not being recognized, not because they aren't doing exactly what traditional is doing, if not better. It's because there is no sweeping element that is effective enough to measure that growth. So we fighting down walls every day. And I think more than anything, it's the accountability on the station side to really refer to the listenership that they have. If four people listened into the ad, to state that it was only four people and not 400, because that's where we're at. And I have 12 stations that I work for. That's how I see it. They're all my clients, and I work for them. And there's a large degree of accountability on their side because the industry cannot afford to have any disrepute on numbers, number callings. We've gone through that. And so, yeah, it's a matter of time. Francois from Iona said it will take a year to do what I want to do. So hopefully it won't take a year, because I'm not going to wait a year. We'll have to fight this either which way. But more than anything, the industries and the agencies, you know, being able to sell digital radio is completely different to selling online radio. And that's why online radio has also failed in the industry, because they're selling on a traditional model and not a digital model. You cannot sell LSMs for digital. We do not, we don't have spots, we don't have time spots. We can have one of our highest users listening in at 3 o'clock in the morning, and we don't have any drive time. Our drive time starts when you arrive at work and you sit down to your respective PC or mobile phone. So we've actually got longer drive time. We actually have a longer drive time period than traditional radio. which they don't know yet, but it's true, we have about 8.5 hours of drive time. So that's a strong sell for the industry too. But we are going into agency in 2 months' time to actually teach agency how to sell digital radio. We are working on more of a demographic and psychographic rate card model that really looks at the consumer's generation, how they spend their money, their purchase behaviors, their lifestyle, and we are rating that on that and not on the LSM model, because the LSM model just doesn't work for digital. So, hi. Yeah.
Thanks. I wanted to ask about, you're speaking a lot about traditional radio. Do you see this as sort of complementary to, because I'm struggling to understand online radio, because it's not a broadcast. So are you just using the term because people are familiar with the is it online audio? If a traditional station streams its content, linear content, is that online radio?
Yes.
So just clarity on that. And then selling, okay, I understand selling to the ad industry, but what about selling to consumers? So how are you starting to build audience and get people to understand what this new thing is so that you start building and selling to them?
Great question. With online radio, we aren't only selling, we're educating at the same time. With regards to your question of traditional and online, yes, not familiarity, but really the fact that radio is radio. It's just where you access it, where you are able to access it from. And some people are accessing it from their cars, and other people that have become digitally conscious are streaming radio. And that's what online radio is. It's really, it's streaming. It's going online and listening to the station through the internet. And yes, traditional radio has got their own digital audience. So you can stream 5FM, but they are part of traditional, and they've got a digital audience. But for Awake Online, we only focus on online radio in the industry. And when it comes to the consumer outside of the advertiser and what we're doing, we're doing everything that we can every day to really educate people on digital migration, on online radio. I had a very interesting week from a guy that I'm dealing with that started Bondi Blue pretty much 30 years ago. His son started London Eyewear, and his son's new generation, millennial, that understands digital, and Ian's from a traditional background. And he said to me, I don't understand digital, but I need to do this because the brand is suffering. And I said, well, you do understand digital, Ian, because you're selling your sunglasses on Takealot. And that's what digital migration is really to link the two up. You don't understand it because traditional has been around for 45 years. It's all we know. It's all we've known, and we've only known how to access radio through analog. And now we have online radio, which is more affordable. We're able to access it a lot better, except for a lot of people that don't have access to the internet. Everyone should have access to the internet. Unfortunately, we're not there yet. But we are really, everything that we do when it comes to the advertiser, what we're putting out on the social feeds, what we're putting out on our stations, is a continuous, every single day is continuing to educate people about digital and where digital is going and how important digital migration really is, because if you don't digitally migrate, you really get left behind. The newspapers suffered in that time. They weren't able to digitally migrate. And radios in the same space, but we've got online now, and really this move over onto online is really a very important place, and it's really all about keeping radio alive, the industry alive, as it's, you know, it's survived the years, it's been timeless and ageless. And it's really where we are able to access it now outside of our car. And the next generation of cars are going to be all Wi-Fi free and Bluetooth, so you can plug in. I'm sure people do that all the time now. They don't listen to the radio. They actually plug in and listen to their podcasts or iTunes. So it's really just about adding to the industry and keeping radio alive. But radio is still radio. It doesn't matter whether you are on frequency or online. The only difference is with online radio is that it really allows you to access radio how you want to access it, not for the lineup I've presented to you or the times that I've given you. When you want to stream in, you stream in. And online radio is niche. It's exceptionally niche. Each and every one of my stations are niche. It depends what you like to listen to and what you like to hear, and that's what's important, not what I want you to hear.
Emma, in terms of obstacles that online radio faces, obviously there's the price of data on a South African scale. What other obstacles does online radio face?
Online faces a lot of obstacles. Firstly, and more than anything, is breaking into the market, really people understanding online radio. The data is a massive problem. Backup servers can be a massive problem. It's something that we're dealing with at the moment. Most of the stations that I deal with are sound, but if digital decides to go down for the day, we're going down with it. So really to make sure that everything on the back end side is up to scratch. But more than anything, it's really just online and what that means to the buyer, to the advertiser, to the consumer, and what it's about. So it's really the educating around online that I would say is one of our biggest obstacles at the moment, is really helping people to understand online radio. That's pretty much it, I'd say.
Emma Jane, one of, I mean, the biggest, like you said, problems that you have is data. And in terms of accessibility, when we look at, for example, the numbers, a station like SABC, the highest numbers of radio listenership in the country are PBS stations, which, you know, most of their listeners are from rural areas. And of course, we know they don't have a lot of accessibility to a lot of things. But radio, for example, is the one thing that they have that is more accessible to them, even more than television. And it shows that they're able to reach in the money because they've got so many numbers. So for a space like online radio, if it's going to be the future, what other ways do you feel can be put in play in order to reach that market and try to also get them involved?
To answer your question and getting people involved and really opening up the doors for accessibility, we do a lot of other things, activations on the ground, which are all actually educational, awareness. I am at a headlock every single day that I'm out selling, because when I started this company, I came from a company and I went to a client and I came back to my boss. And she said to me, I don't get out of bed for that amount of money, Emma Jane. So I said, okay, but we need to put everyone on radio here. And she said, I don't put anyone on radio. If you don't have a million plus, you can't get onto radio. And it was one of the biggest reasons why I started Awake Online, was I wanted to make radio accessible and affordable to and for everyone. We've got a long, long way to go, and outside of just doing our best every single day, getting involved with the big consumers, trying to drive traffic, trying to do data compression, put in Wi-Fi free spots, distribute smartphones that have a partnership with the brands that we're working for. We are in the same space as the person on the other side trying to access that. What I have tried to do is to isolate areas that we focus on one area, we pass that, we focus on the next area. But it's really just a matter of time and hopefully sooner rather than later. Does that answer your... Oh, you also have a question? No? Okay.
Emma Jane, I love the way that you talk about radio first and being here for your love of radio and that simple explanation of it's just all radio. What's your biggest vision for online radio? In other words, its biggest potential? I mean, we've looked at the obstacles, and thank you for being realistic, but like that Star Wars perspective that you sometimes talk about.
I'm not allowed to share all my things. I think the biggest thing for me is really to prove the Star Wars theory, that we are all able to connect and connect through radio. So, yeah, really just radio for me too in this online space is almost its own internet. That's how big and massive and how far-reaching radio can go. It really puts a really warm feeling in my heart to know that eventually the possibility of a mama in the rural area sending a shout out to her son that's about to start his first day at varsity, that's the potential of online radio, is to cross borders, to send shout outs, to make it accessible for everyone. One phone, one tablet, one iPad, and that's the other thing with radio is the listenership, the reach of that listen is completely different to TV. As you know, too many huddles up, you can't see the screen, but radio is able to project sound and really not decide on the visuals for you either. You decide on that, but where I'd love to go with online radio is for everyone to have access to online, to radio, no matter who you are, what you're worth, or what space you're in. If you'd like to be on radio, if you'd like to advertise on radio, Awake Online definitely would like to make that a possibility. So yes, proving the Star Wars theory that could exist and will exist would be my greatest gift to radio, to the industry, and to everything after us. I guess I think that's what it's also about. It's everything after us, and the industry will carry on after us. And content. Content is just so important. What content you're putting out there, and what content you're putting out there on a very honest platform that is accountable. There is no room for any disrepute. And really, there's also no room for the person that's being interviewed online with their Jack Black beer. He must be up for the DJ to have a sip and go, I actually really don't like this. That's how honest the space is, that any brand is up for questions as much as the person, as much as the consumer. So yeah, proving the Star Wars theory would be a great ending. Yeah.
All right, well, thank you so much, Emma Jane,
you
for your
much.
Session, and thank you to all of you for joining us. One last round of applause, please.
Thank you.